A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, September the 6th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe says some teachers are traumatized about the opening of schools on Tuesday as they are uncertain of what awaits them as government continues its exercise of rooting out ghost workers.
We have serious bitterness because we are opening a term confronted by serious anxiety and uncertainty.
And Zimbabweans from all walks of life within the United States converged in Boston, Massachusetts this weekend for an interdenominational two-day conference that ended today.
The Christian Fellowship International is a grouping of all the Zimbabweans, the best particularly in the United States, from all walks of life, all denominations. We come annually during the Labor Day weekend to worship the Lord.
And some farmers are lamenting the recent weather forecast, predicting little or erratic rain for this coming season, saying a bad season will further frustrate farmers who are already facing many challenges. And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, PTUZ, says some teachers are traumatized about the opening of school Tuesday as they are uncertain of what awaits them as government continues its exercise of rooting out ghost workers. PTUZ General Secretary Raymond Majongwe tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri, despite all these challenges, his organization welcomes the move taken by the MDCT president, Morgan Tsvangirai, calling for mass action.
Mr. Tsvangirai says at a house that he got from government, they know where he stays. Whenever he moves around the country, there are hordes of intelligence officers from government that are following, reflect that he surely is moving around. But I want to believe that he is simply exercising his right. But the most important thing here is, it's not that the workers then have to pander to the wings of Mr. Tsvangirai or the other parties that I have spoken of. It's within the terms of reference of the affected individuals to rise up to the occasion, to stand up and be counted and make their demands from their own vantage point. I want to simply state categorically without any fear that it is very correct and very legitimate that any Zimbabwean who leads any political process is free to do whatever they want to do. But the tragedy comes when the people don't heed to these calls because they are busy elsewhere, they are too scared, or they think that they are better serviced somewhere else.
But as civil servants, what's your take on the labor law that was amended recently?
The law that was signed by President Mugabe is as bad as the laws promulgated by Ian Smith. It does not give the black African an opportunity, a black Zimbabwean, to survive under the hard situation that we find ourselves in. We are violently opposed to this bill that was signed and enacted into an act by being appended the President Mugabe's signature.
Schools are opening this Tuesday. As teachers, are you prepared?
We have serious bitterness because we are opening a term confronted by serious anxiety and uncertainty. We have on one hand reports that have been produced by the Public Service Commission and handed over to the President, and these reports are seriously biased and are not a reflection of the truth. Within those reports are very conflicting and controversial things that are being presented. It's not as if many of these deputy headmasters, the headmasters, appointed themselves into these schools. Apparently, we also want to ask Minister Dokora whether he has any input, because we are convinced the Minister of Education, for all intents and purposes, did not have anything to do with these reports. Because the reports, the only snippets that we have read, are so conflicting. Secondly, we know for a fact that several of our teachers are facing a dilemma because they have been told if you are above 55, you are supposed to go and fill in time and form. We are bitter, we are angry, but we are ready for them because I want to believe any cat or any leopard that is put in a corner will rise to defend itself one day.
That was PTUZ General Secretary Raymond Majongwe speaking to Jonga Kandemiri. Zimbabweans from all walks of life within the United States converged in Boston, Massachusetts this weekend for an interdenominational two-day conference that ended today. Reverend Robert Mageza, pastor of the Zimbabwe Fellowship, tells us more on the conference.
The Christian Fellowship International is a grouping of all the Zimbabweans based particularly in the United States. From all walks of life, all denominations, we come annually during the Labor Day weekend to worship the Lord and fellowship with one another. This year we had a theme, Behold, I Do a New Thing. And we believe God needs to do something new for people. Things are changing, even economically. So God wants to do something new in people's lives. So that was our theme, and God moved in an amazing way. We had various pastors from different churches ministering to the people. People felt very blessed, and they left definitely with something new that God deposited in their hearts.
And what would you say was the major highlight of the conference?
I think the major highlight was when people met for the dinner dance, where in addition to the Word of God, which was preached by Pastor Tembo of New York, people had the opportunity to relax. You know, people in the diaspora live some very busy lives, but in this case, they managed to sit back whilst hearing the Word of God and some music, which was provided by our very talented Zimbabwean musicians.
And also, we understand that during the conference, you also have workshops running alongside. What kind of workshops do you have?
We had a workshop. The first one we had was one conducted by a gentleman regarding scholarships. He was just telling people how to apply for various scholarships that are available. The other one was by Dr. Masatini. She's a renowned speaker telling the youths about their values. The other one was run by another group, how to handle grief, and the other one, how to handle reconciliation. So there was quite some interesting workshops going on.
To round off our discussion, Reverend, can you just give us a word of God that you have on your heart for some of our listeners listening out there since it's a Sunday?
All I can tell the listeners is that it's not over until God says it's over. Like one of the messages that I preached where the four lepers were stuck by the gate and they decided to make a move. And God surprised them by giving them all the riches that were held by their enemies. If they had given up, they wouldn't have got what they had. But they looked at their situation and said, enough is enough. We can't stay by this gate and suffer. This is what I'm asking all the Christians to say, enough is enough. Don't wait by the gate. Don't suffer in the situation that you are in. God has got great stuff for you. He's got great surprises for you. All you need to do is to stand, leave where you are seated, leave that gate where you are seated. Otherwise, if you keep on sitting there, you will develop bed sores and you won't do anything. Those are the encouraging words I would like to leave with the listeners.
That was Reverend Robert Mageza, pastor of the Zimbabwe Fellowship in Boston, Massachusetts, here in the United States. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Some farmers are lamenting the recent weather forecast, predicting little or erratic rain for this coming season, saying a bad season will further frustrate farmers who are already facing many challenges. Plumtree resident Tamani Ngube says farmers should plan ahead despite the challenges they are likely to face this season. Ngube tells us more on the issue.
I think this means that, first of all, people must plan ahead and plan for the season that is to come. Secondly, they must then put in the necessary inputs that have to be put, fertilizer and early planting, and do them a great deal of coming up with good yield.
But do you think that people have the ability to really plan forward, looking at the state of the economy, and that also, you know, there is a shortage of finances around?
The problem is that seed currently is not available, and even for the past 5 or so years, we haven't been having any assistance from the government in terms of farming input. So it's going to be difficult, but I urge our people to try all possibilities, because, I mean, this is an issue of survival. If we sit back and wait for a non-existent government to do anything, I think those efforts will then be futile.
As a young man yourself, if you had the opportunity to speak to the government, especially when it comes to farming issues in your area, what would you say to them?
Now, I think the government, having been on record saying that our country is agro-based, I think they are not very outspoken in that area, because they are not forthcoming with programs that really reveal what they mean. They seem to be pointing east and moving west. So even the agri-tech offices are not adequately equipped to bring forward the necessary knowledge and the inputs that are needed for agriculture. So I think the government, in terms of policy, they are very good, but in terms of policy implementation, I think we need a lot to be done.
That was Tamani Ngube, a Plumtree resident who's also a youth activist. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Mishek Gondo, who is the director of the National Association of Youth Organizations. Mishek, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Katenda.
Of course, I understand starting tomorrow, Monday, September 7th, your organization will be hosting the Youth Regional Program for Africa, focusing on the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. Tell me more about this program.
The National Association of Youth Organizations, which is the global coordinator for CSO Partnership for Effective Development, will be hosting a regional TOT for young people drawn from the African continent. We are going to have about 8 African continents that are part of the priority. The focus is on effective development, and also, as you have alluded to, that we are focusing on SDG. But the key themes that we'll be looking at that are covered in that regional TOT, we are going to look at aid and development effectiveness. We are going to look at development cooperation and the role of youth, the post-2015 development agenda. And the issue is we have to make sure that we equip youth with the skills to track development commitments, sustainable development goals, and the role the youth have got a fundamental role to play as far as the implementation and monitoring accountability of SDGs as far as the development is concerned.
What are some of the countries that will be represented? You said that there are 8 African countries that will be present in Zimbabwe starting on Monday. Who are you expecting?
We have countries such as Ghana, we have Uganda, we have got Cameroon, we've got Zambia, we've got Tanzania, among other countries.
And, you know, looking at the continental view, you know, how are young people able to be part of this issue of development in Africa? From your take, looking at all the young people that you have spoken to and you have interacted with when it comes to this issue?
Yeah, it's very critical to attend, to take note that the role of young people as far as this issue is concerned. If you look at the development agenda, it's been recognized, and in those over 1,250 youth organizations from 140 countries, and especially major international organizations, what we call the Global Youth Corps, prioritizing post-2015 development agenda. And the young people have been building momentum across Africa. And what we are trying to do now is to consolidate the voice, the African voice, as the global coordinator. And we make sure that when these development goals are being implemented at a national level, the young people get an appreciation and the role that they need to play. But speaking in different countries, there's been activities happening to make sure that we are acquainted to this development discourse.
And of course, there's no way to escape the challenges, Meshack, as we often know that there are challenges that come with the issue of development and effectiveness countrywide. Looking at Zimbabwe, what are some of the changes that you as an organization and as young people are hoping can be implemented?
Definitely, Tatenda, from that perspective, as Zimbabwe, we need to be a gear higher in terms of solving these myriad of challenges. One of the critical things is the issue of eradication of poverty, which is a priority issue in terms of development goals. Whenever a country is met with poverty, things tend to be stagnant. And also the issue of focusing on young people, the issue of unemployment. But there's also area of issues like safe delivery in terms of water, which has also come out clear in terms of development goals, clean water, among other services. These are some of the key issues that we need to do. But what is important as far as development sector is concerned in Zimbabwe, we need also to open lines of engagement so that our development discourse is defined. We also need to have an environment that is conducive for investment, like the aspect of finance for development. This also is a critical issue that we need to introspect on.
And, you know, are the authorities forthcoming? Are they open to, you know, implementing these changes?
Definitely, the issue of engagement. For example, if you look at the program that we are doing, we are involving the government, our government. And even some of the programs that we are doing besides events, you find that we've got the ministry coming and tabling the issues of how the government wants to implement these sustainable development goals. And what we are saying as young people is we want to complement those efforts to make sure that the government and ourselves, we are together in terms of implementing that.
And with that, I do want to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much, Katenda.
That was Meshack Gondo, Director of the National Association of Youth Organizations, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Manjaya music.
What to them? Yo, cool it, babe guy.
We love y'all.
Saverio.
Yeah.
Tete Precious.
Now we're Chief Chia.
My Isabel.
Yeah, me know.
Na faza ma sister. Na faza munu wese ma shita. Doro tadira basita faza baribasita faza gana ma ancestors. Yeah. Waya, waya. Ma fanzi angu eze andi gandira ma waya, waya.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe says some teachers are traumatized about the opening of schools Tuesday as they are uncertain of what awaits them as government continues its exercise of rooting out ghost workers. And Zimbabweans based in the United States converged in Boston, Massachusetts for an interdenominational meeting which ended today. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, September the 6th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.